Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, listeners.
Hello, welcome to Running Commentary.
We are in a very exciting spot with a very exciting guest. We've just stepped off the ferry across the mouth of Poole Harbour with Marathon Talks Martinelli.
Oh, it's amazing to be with you guys, but it is. How windy is it?
Yeah, oh, this is fantastic. This is very windy.
It's all a bit. Oh,
and we're basically in a sand dune, aren't we?
We are attempting the Marathon des Sables.
I like the fact you let out a little squeal then, a sort of windy squeal.
No, you misheard. I definitely didn't say "ooh," just there.
This is probably the most dramatic sight we've ever had.
We haven't even started, to be fair, we are still walking as well.
Yeah, we haven't actually started running yet.
But we're in beautiful, Dorset or Wiltshire here?
Dorset here.
We're in Dorset. In Dorset, I'd heartily recommend it.
Yeah.
We've got Poole Harbour on our right and the actual wide open ocean on our left, and we're going to go for a run. We're in your hands on that.
Well, we have. This is my favourite bit here. This is for two reasons. This red phone box I love.
Oh, right, photo.
It's like the best sighted red phone box.
Oh, yeah,
it's
kind of Doctor Who-esque, isn't it?
That one. Look, kind of want to open that.
Yeah, great.
And the second reason is there's a big blue sign just as you get off that ferry. I think it's called Bramble Bush Ferry or something like
something
that.
Something like it's in Thomas the Tank Engine.
Yeah, and that big blue sign shows the end of the South West Coast Path that starts in Minehead.
Yeah, all right.
And then goes 630 miles and finishes there.
I was thinking that's difficult because Minehead's on the other side.
It's a long way. Yeah. I'm not going to do all of that today.
I'd rather not. Ow! I wish I'd worn trousers. This sand's hurting my legs.
Sand biting into
my... Oh, my God.
These Londoners aren't used to this, are they?
No.
Martin's hardened with a beach life.
So are we running in the sand? Let's run somewhere sandy. So can you tell us anything about a run today, or are you just going to make it up?
Yeah, I thought we'd end up in Minehead.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Minehead.
So we've taken the little chain ferry from Sandbanks across to Studland. And now we're going to go just into Rempston Heath and Rempston Forest.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great standing rock called Aggleston Rock.
Yep.
That I hope to be able to...
Nice.
Well, we'll see what it's like when we get there.
Great.
And then we're going to drop across to the top of Nine Barrow Down.
Oh, I know Nine Barrow Down.
And you're going to look over Swanage on one side and Poole Harbour on the other. And then with this wind, we're going to come loosely careering down the cliff
edge.
We're
going to throw ourselves off the cliff.
Yeah, yeah. Or just throw ourselves up in the air and hope that the prevailing wind captures us like leaves. Down.
Yeah, past old Harry Roxon. And back in.
Nice.
Brilliant.
You asked for about 6 miles. It's probably about seven.
That's fine. We can do seven.
We can handle it.
Are you doing a lot of running at the moment, then, mate? What's your...
No,
where are you in the cycle of of events. Have you got an event that you're building towards, or are you sort of ticking
not
over?
No, really. I did London. Well, I saw you both.
We saw you.
Yes. You were finishing, coming screaming down the highway.
Yeah.
You? I didn't see you, Paul. But
well,
I saw
he'd
you.
Already gone. That's the thing.
I saw Rob
because you filmed the whole thing. You were able to film what you're doing pace. But how was it? How was London? How was it? We didn't talk to you afterwards.
It was great. Around 5:02.
Yeah. What was it like running it that slow? I look forward to running it that slow and just chatting to people and having fun. And
it was wicked.
Do you know what I mean? It sounds really good fun.
There was a couple of moments where I felt, I mean, it's still hard.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's
not nothing. Yeah.
5 hours of running. And
that always amazes me, that. It's just so difficult to run for that amount of time.
It's 5 hours of running, and the thing I think, I mean, I knew, but I hadn't actually experienced firsthand before, is that, like, people are rinsing themselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
At 5 hours.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
You know, and I think when we go out, you know, you run hard as you can for 3.5 hours.
Yes.
Yeah.
But these guys are 5.5
that's
hours.
That's right. It's all about the speed that's available to you, isn't it? Because people say, oh, it's amazing that, you know, if you do a sub-3 like you guys, then that's brilliant. But you can do it. And then you do it and you can say, right, I've only been running for 3 hours. But if your pace is such that running at your hardest, you're going to come in 5.5, that's 5.5 hours running. You know what I mean?
It's going to hit you hard. Do, isn't it?
And it was difficult. In parts, you know, we were filming it, but we also had a lot of stopping.
Yeah,
right.
So we were stopping to check the equipment. We're paranoid batteries were going to run out.
Of course.
All this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about that stuff at all now.
Are we going? Is that it?
This is it. We've started actually running.
We've just started running.
Yeah,
so
I mean, we were running all along, weren't we, guys? Yeah.
Now we're going to hear
Martin pointing. Now we're off.
Hear us puffing. it was really good. I got passed by two men in full chainmail, and I didn't pass the guy carrying the washing machine till about mile 17.
we were with one of the chainmail guys on the train.
We met him on the train on the way there. Yeah, brilliant. We met this really nice, softly spoken Scottish boy. I think it was from Inverness.
Yeah.
What a day he's going to have. That's so tough, isn't it?
Yeah, so it was pretty good there, and I really enjoyed it. But now, after that, no, I've not got anything in the immediate future.
Yeah.
I'm going to Kenya in October to run the Kericho Marathon.
Well, that's is that like a kind of Mexican sausage?
Which is a place in Kenya.
Yeah.
And we're taking a little group out to do the first ever one.
Oh, wow.
I've never been to Kenya. So
wow, that
I've
is
never
exciting.
Been to Kenya. No, I've definitely not run in Kenya, so
that's going to be really good fun, isn't it? Yeah, that's
really exciting. Is there any history of high quality running in Kenya?
Yeah,
I think maybe a little bit.
I'm just not going to tell the local, you know, the local speedsters.
Yeah.
But other than that, you know, most of my running now is social, you know, with my wife.
Yeah,
drop
yeah.
the kids off, go for a little run, stop for a coffee.
Yeah, good.
Occasionally I'll think I'm faster than I am,
yeah,
and try a session or a
right try and know, get a bit of speed up. Yeah
try a tempo run, see if I can bring my park run time down, but it just keeps going up.
Well, Paul was going for a time in the marathon and got it, and now you've very much stick shifted down to very short runs. That's where all your pace
it's quite a tricky period post-marathon, isn't it? Especially because I was trying to beat 3 hours for a while.
Beat
I beat 3 hours. Yeah,
I
massacred it. 2:59:21 seconds.
Oh, perfect.
So I got there and it was great. And then it's like, it's a bit of a cliche, isn't it? But it's the what's next thing, isn't it?
Did you know that you were at what point? Because that sub three is a big goal.
Yeah, it's hard
it's a
work.
Big
yeah, it was hard. Yeah.
Yeah. At I what point did you go, this is I've got this, I'm, or this is still within reach?
Well, I mean, I went through half in 88 minutes and 7 seconds, so I left myself a bit of a cushion. And then, it just got harder and harder.
Yeah.
I didn't really know I'd got it till I overtook the sub-3 pacer overtook me at about 22.5 miles.
Yeah.
which was a tough moment, but I just kind of held him there. I managed to hold him there. And then I overtook him just before 26 miles, so I thought, then I've got it. Yeah. And then I just legged it for the finish, you know.
Oh,
it must
but
it was good fun.
Amazing.
It was really good fun, yeah.
Was that your... Like, was there a big difference between your gun time, your chip time? Was it about the same?
It was about the same because I could
cross under the finish sub 3 hours.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was great fun. It was great. And since then I've just been doing not much mileage, but I've been basically training like a 1500 meter runner. So I just wanted to get a bit faster for a while, you know, change down a little bit.
I haven't really got a sense of 1500 meters as a distance. I mean, it's.
Have you ever run like 1,500 metres or a mile or anything as fast as you can?
No. I mean, the two comparisons I've got is 5Ks and 10Ks. And the fact that way back, literally decades before I considered running, when I was at school, I just had for a lardy bloke who didn't do any of that kind of thing, I had a slightly surprising turn of speed and stamina.
Yeah.
So when it came time for games, where I'd be, you know, classically picked last. But even then, it was probably more the 800 metres.
Yeah.
I was a guy who, in the 800 metres, was still going in the second lap, whereas all the speedy guys went.
I think everybody should try and run a mile as fast as they can.
Yeah, yeah.
It's tricky, isn't it?
It's really hard.
Really tricky, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, people think it's an easy thing to do, but actually, training for it is really hard too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because you think, wow, it's minutes.
Yeah.
I'm not running for hours. It's minutes, but it takes a real...
You're so near your threshold all the time, aren't you?
It takes a certain skill to, firstly... be able to push yourself quite horribly.
Yeah.
And secondly, to be able to hold that for what seems like a long time. So,
yeah.
You know, whether you're going to run a mile in 8 minutes or five.
Yeah, I mean I'm looking real... When I was a kid, I did one in 4:50, a mile in 4:50.
Did you? What, like proper kid? Like,
well,
eight.
17,
4:50?
Yeah. But, he was a whippet as a teenager.
But that was an awful long time ago. I'm no longer a kid.
No.
And if I can get anywhere near 5:15, I'll be happy. Because I've been training and I'll do a lap in, I've been doing reps in about 77 seconds or whatever. But the idea of doing four of those.
Yeah.
It's really tough.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you talk about your reps. I mean, how do you train for it? How do you break it up? What's the shape of it? What's the ladder?
Well, Martin, tell us. I mean,
I've run. When I first started running as a kid, I'm no longer a kid either. I used to run 1500 metres on the track.
Yeah.
And so, mainly I did it because I wanted to get away from home. Do something with my mates.
Yep.
We're going to go left here.
Great.
And feel like, you know, I just happen to live within a mile of my running track in Yeovil in Somerset.
Right.
Like my mum had no money.
Yeah.
So we could photobomb this, look.
Yeah.
We're just running past a little fella taking rather glamorous looking photographs.
Take a photo of you taking a photo. There you go.
It's weird. It's quite a weird scene, that one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Quite an odd.
He's having a sort of a Tinder profile.
Cool. Tinder profile.
This all looks good.
In the mug. Let's get near some marshland and we'll just get a nice photo.
It's going to get worse.
Yoo-hoo! Okay. I'm going to try not to whoop every time something exciting happens. So, sorry, take us back to Yeovil.
Yeah, Yeovil. I used to run at the Yeovil running track.
Yep.
Yeah, we didn't have a lot of money for my... when I think about my kids now, you know, they're off doing tap dancing and, like, drama and singing, which is what my daughter's into, not running at all.
Yeah.
Whereas the only thing I was able to do was run, because it was no cost, because I could climb over the fence, and it was a mile up the road, so I could go on my own.
Brilliant. That's the thing that always keeps you... keeps one into it, isn't it? It's the fact that it's so cheap running, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, there's still a beauty to that when you can afford, you know, as grown-ups, I'm sure we could all take up, you know, join the mountain climbing club or whatever, but it's still a purity to be able to go out the door and go for a run, isn't there? It's a nice thing.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's fantastic. I must have been 12, I guess, 13, right. 14 when
yeah.
I used to go running down the track with my mates and we just mess around.
Yes.
And the yeah. running was an incidental thing that we all sort of enjoyed.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And 1,500 metres was the distance I ran. So we'd have my mate's dad who would coach us, hold a stopwatch on the side of the track and,
brilliant.
You know, we'd just try and batter out lap after lap.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. 200s and 400s
yeah,
and 600s.
800 metre yeah. repeats and
yeah.
200 metre repeats. And we put our luminous spikes on, or in my case, my Dunlop blue flash, because my mum couldn't afford the Dunlop green flash, yeah. which everyone else had.
Dunlop blue flash is like the Tesco value Dunlop green flash.
It was, yeah. yeah.
Then you had those weird subset of trainers as a kid. They were more like sort of slippers. Do you remember those sort of black slipper thing
yeah.
with the yeah, yeah. brown waffle sole?
Oh yeah, I used to have some of those with little picks
daps.
Of palm trees.
They were called daps, weren't they? They were called daps in my neck of the woods.
I remember wearing them. They were so light. It was like the sort of forerunner of that kind of barefoot running thing almost, wasn't it? Because yeah. they were so light and nothing to them.
We think we should bring back the short short.
yeah.
We should
yeah.
bring back the dap.
That'd be great. So you're obviously, I mean, you're romanticising it and it's great, but you're obviously pretty quick. I mean, because you reached a high level,
didn't you? I ran 3:46.
As a, for 1,500 metres?
Yeah. Yeah.
As a, is that your best ever? Or,
yeah.
Right. That's a very fast time, isn't it?
And that was as yeah, a grown-up.
Yeah, that was as a fully fledged adult.
Right.
Yes.
Was that in Watford? You seem to do a lot of your PBs in Watford.
Watford? I think I ran that at Crystal Palace.
Right, okay.
Maybe that's just where the Strava said it was. It wasn't as good yeah. in those days.
So, and then I kind of just took that track running. And I, each distance I realised I wasn't quite as successful as I wanted to be.
Yes.
Yeah, so I yeah. just kept on moving up.
Just kept moving up the gears, yeah.
Just moving up and tried 3,000 and steeplechase and... And then I snapped an Achilles tendon.
Ooh! Oh, that's got to hurt. Was that yeah. in an event?
In an event,
oh.
yeah. Landing, you know the steeplechase
where you land.
Has a water jump barrier.
Yes.
Yeah.
yeah.
Landing oh. off of one of those.
Oh, oh no. You went down and stayed down, I suppose.
Yeah, that kind of pushed me into cycling more and
yeah.
multi-sport, duathlon and... triathlon, all that stuff.
Had you done cycling before then at all?
Well, I used to cycle before I met my wife.
Right.
More than run. And then I met my wife and I thought, I need to find a way of keeping up with her.
Spending time with her.
Yeah, exactly.
She seems to be running all the time.
She's yeah. just all yeah. she did was run.
Yeah, yeah.
So she used to think that running twice a day was normal behaviour.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas I was, that's not, you know, that's insane.
Yes, classic.
Yeah. You run how many times?
Double day, yes. Because Liz ran marathons, didn't she?
Yeah, she did, yeah. yeah so, well, not in her early running
She came
career.
Through the track, she came through.
Yeah, she won the English schools.
Yes, you're right.
Over 1,500 metres as an 18-year-old, I think. And then went on to go to the Olympics twice, win a Commonwealth medal.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, at marathon running. So, yeah, I needed a
definitely. So, yeah, she quite into running.
Yeah. So, I had to run a bit more. So that was.
Yeah,
that was,
yeah in order yeah, to yeah. see your girlfriend.
Yeah, what took me off the off the bike and got me more into running was the was not a joy of running, but. Seeing that long
joy of romance
disappear in the distance.
His long legs
after her.
I'm off the run again. Yeah. yeah. You ran at school though?
Yeah, well I ran when I was
pretty sharp.
I ran when I was yeah, just from like 12 to 17 really. You know, I ran in North Yorkshire cross country and track. But much slower than you. But then also realising that I was never particularly fast. You know, I just didn't have that pace to
yeah.
compete on the track, you know. But I really enjoyed it, and I find now, as I'm getting into running more, because I've sort of been seriously running back again for the last few years.
Yeah.
Returning to the track and joining a club.
Which is a real pain for me, by the way, because when we got... basically, we got into doing this and got into running together because I got into running a kind of midlife crisis way.
Yeah.
Kind of reawoke his love of running.
Yeah.
Whereby he came back as, you know, the same brilliant runner from your teams, only more so. And he's going, thanks, mate.
You could have told me that before I agreed to my midlife crisis pursuit of running and health.
Exactly.
Done a 450 mile.
As the ex-fat bloke here, I could really do without being shown up quite so roundly.
I'll keep that in my back pocket as long as possible.
But part of it is the that return to childhood thing. You know, doing track sessions in the summer with the club and realising how much fun it is. You know, it's just sort of just been my age trying to sprint and be fast over a mile. Yeah. I found it really, really enjoyable, yeah. You know.
I mean, you know, one of the things I've learned, I've run, I guess. Hey, there's the rock. If you look straight in front of us.
Right.
Can you see that? Dead ahead?
Yeah, yeah.
Always makes for good audio, pointing things out. Yeah.
What, on the right on the top?
You can't see because these trees are in the way.
Oh, okay.
But as you just over there, look. Sort of there.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's big.
Nice, yeah.
Yeah.
That's our destination.
You carry on,
mate.
I'll get a picture of you with it in
that's
the vista.
Our destination.
We're in this wonderful heathy sward.
Exotic destination that we're heading for.
Nice.
We'll see if we can. I wonder if I can get you to climb on top of it. We can try
we'll
and
do
get
anything
there.
For a photo op.
Yeah.
Rob loves to get his Lycra out.
One of the things I found about being a runner, you know, I'm 45 now, so I reckon, you know, I've probably run. I remember my first cross country at primary school.
Yeah.
So I must have run for 35 years,
yeah.
Maybe more. And one of the things I have realised is it's a sport that you can make whatever you want it to be.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, yeah, that's a great thing
your
about
own image.
It. Yeah.
Exactly, you can morph it.
Yeah.
So,
but I also think there's a weird kind of luckiness to, you know, our generation, roughly, given that we're all sort of roughly the same age, is that back in when we were at school, cross country was... You know, it was often wielded as a kind of punishment.
Yeah.
So if you loved it, you knew you loved it, because you're like, well, this isn't a punishment.
Dan,
I'm into this.
You loved it because you were ever so slightly warped.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas now, kids are supposed to, you know, like when my kids, the primary schooler is into running as we are. So when the kids go out and go, wait a minute, this is hard. I'm really tired. They're a bit confused about the whole deal.
Bit of speed work. Blind corner.
Yeah, nip it across, nip it across.
Yeah, across the road there.
That is our only road
This
crossing.
Is gorgeous. So we're going through a gate. I was going to read the name of the place, but it said help control nesting birds. Well, this is Godlingston Heath.
Yeah.
As the National Trust would tell us. There we go, off you go.
Yeah, so my running has morphed a little bit like that with
yes.
me, you know?
Yes, yeah, yeah. You can change it according to how much time you've got to give to it and what age you're at. And there's always a challenge that can excite you, isn't it? That's what it could be, distance or getting a bit faster for a bit or seeing a new place or...
Yep.
Yeah,
running with different people.
Yes, yeah.
You know? And I'm a bit like you that I've done some long stuff now. Oh,
what's your longest run now?
As a runner,
yep.
I wonder if it's Comrades, 56 yeah. miles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Probably Comrades' longest race. I've done some ultra stages, you know.
Yep, yep.
So did you do the South Coast last year?
Well, I tried.
What happened with that?
See, I stopped after. I stopped after day. Oh, nine, I think it was supposed to be a 21-day challenge.
Yeah.
I fully stopped after day 15.
Right.
But I rather cleverly thought it would be a good idea to hire a big, comfortable camper van.
Right.
So that I could relax in the evening.
Yeah.
And that my dad could drive it.
All right, yeah.
We could spend some quality father-son time together.
I can't see anything wrong with this place.
That's a recipe for disaster if you've ever heard of it. Anyway,
yeah, so...
Good idea.
I was very wrong.
Yeah.
With both of those things.
So was it just your dad shouting at you out of a van for like six hours a day before a row then? Or
the whole route is on... It was on the southwest coast path, so it's very inaccessible.
Right.
It's even more inaccessible in a 7 metre camper.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I kind of underestimated how hard it was going to be. So I started running at 9 o'clock in the morning, and on some days I wouldn't finish till 10, half past 10 at night.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Wow. That's tricky, isn't it?
Yeah,
and then there's not much quality time left after that, is there?
No, and so what tended to happen was my dad missed a few checkpoints. So
just checkpoints. I imagine you're quite looking forward to as well.
Yeah. Crashed the van.
So you get to the end of a 13-hour running day, and you've got to kind of phone the AA and the insurance company.
People were coming and joining me for sections of the run, and you know, which was fantastic. You know, but one of them kind of got really ill. You know, out on the route, and you know, ambulances were called. And
wow. It sounds like...
It's like, okay.
It sounds like your support wasn't really operating as support.
That would be a good...
Yeah.
That would be a good summary.
Undermined by the folk you've got.
But at the same time, it's a phenomenal thing to have done.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Well, how many miles did you do before you stopped?
Well, in the first week, I covered 260 miles with 50,000 feet of elevation.
Yeah. I mean, so 10 marathons over hills.
That's really tiring.
Yeah, in 7 days.
Tiring. Yeah.
In July.
Oh.
Yeah, wow. Going sort of sometimes 7 hours, you know, running out of water because I thought there'd be places to stop and missing checkpoints and things like that. But it was an amazing experience, but I could have been wiser with my prep.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Does that mean... Ultimately, from here, I mean, obviously things can change, but does that mean it's a never again, or one day I'll go back and do it properly? In terms of thinking that it was preparation that let you down, does that mean that you want to reattempt it someday?
I would still like to do it, you know.
Yeah, yeah. How far is it in total?
630 miles.
It's a huge thing to undertake in any context.
Well, I mean, a rather annoying ultra runner called Damien Hall.
Yes.
You may have heard of
him.
Really, just, you know, incredibly annoying. I love him, really.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he's super talented.
So strong, yeah.
Yeah, and he ran the whole lot in 10 days.
Wow.
Which is just breathtaking.
That's enormous.
So he could have doubled back and helped you with the car, couldn't he?
Well, he could have. What he actually could have done is run it one way, turned round, and run it back, and I still wouldn't have been finished.
And coming past you going... Yeah.
Check me out, Mr. Fancy.
And also, you know, it's going back to that fact that even without the actual underfoot difficulty, elevation and the rocks, you know, coastal travel is... It's almost the opposite of as the crow flies, I'm making a beeline. You know, the number of rivers you've got to cross, cliffs you've got to clamber up.
Yeah, being outside on your own.
Nature's amazing. Yeah, you're running in it, it's beautiful, isn't it?
Yes, yeah.
It's hard to...
We kind of harp on about the significance of being connected, you know, and that journey just, you know, really taught me that... Like, we connect with the wrong things.
Yeah.
So I felt really connected with the route I was running on, you know, with the sea, the cliffs, the people I met. I didn't feel at all connected with work or my phone.
Yes, that's great.
You know?
That's one of the joys of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Disconnecting from everything like that.
Do you get that with your running?
I love it. Yeah, I mean, I usually run off watch, and obviously I don't take my phone with me. I love a run in the woods on my own. That's where I'm happiest, running slowly in the woods.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that. But I love a race as well. I mean, I love it all. But
I think you're quite good at finding that balance, you know. We kind of daydream about getting lost. And we talk about dog runs, you know, just going off, not knowing how far you're going to go, what speed you're going to go, where you're going to go. But equally, I think Paul in particular is quite good at holding on to that mindset like a kind of glass of water.
Yeah.
Whilst running in a slightly more competitive, measured environment, you know.
Yeah, I do think we miss a trick with that. With our, you know, my friend Tom jokes at me for being a tree-hugging runner. I think we're going to go left here. We're trying to find our way there.
Okay, we'll find.
I see that stone.
Yeah, it would be a fun thing to go to, right?
Yeah,
we
sounds
just
good
need to
me.
Get there.
Nice stone. It's lovely in general, though. Talking of being in touch with it, we're among sandy gorse, kind of ex-sand dune heath.
This is really nice,
here. It's
yeah.
fantastic.
A nice
across London.
A bit soft underfoot as well, isn't it?
Yeah,
nice
great
to run
surface.
Soft surfaces as well. Yeah.
Without being too soft, I don't like running in soft, fluffy sand. I know
do you
people
not?
Do.
Great, we've got 2 miles on the beach to finish with.
Yeah, but it's been raining. I just need it slightly firmed up, you know what I mean?
I've had to think carefully about the wind direction, though.
Yeah.
I did it this way round because of the tears you had off the ferry about the little bits of sand.
Hitting me on the knees.
Yeah,
oh,
I thought
my knees.
These city types.
I'm from London.
So how did you find Comrade? Because they just finished that this year, didn't they?
It was just last weekend,
yes. Yes, yeah.
Great, it was a challenge that Tom and I set ourselves to do. It came about because we said, what's harder, 100 press-ups?
Okay.
100 press-ups or Comrades?
Right.
Therefore, we said, well, we don't know, so we need to try and do both.
Yeah. It's Comrades.
I could have told you that. We say it's Comrades, but I completed Comrades,
right.
But I only got to 77 press-ups.
Okay.
Therefore,
100 press-ups,
100
is hard.
Press-ups must be harder.
The thing about press-ups is, and I think it's quite a nice little life analogy thing, is that you can simultaneously feel when they're better because they're harder. You know what I mean?
And you can keep you can keep doing it. Like, I always found, that you can do a few press-ups and it's not so bad.
Yep.
And then when you try and do more, for me it was about more than about 35.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd get the shake on and regardless of how many I tried to do. So we had some simple rules.
Yeah.
You know, you weren't allowed to put your knees down. They had to be proper press-ups.
Right. Yep, yep.
Do them all slowly. And you weren't allowed to pause, you know?
Yeah, yeah. These things, you reel those things off. But in real terms, if anyone has knocked out 10 press-ups and not noticed themselves cheating, if you stick to all the things you just said,
they're
going to know
really
you're
difficult.
Doing them.
Yeah.
So we saw. So then, of course, we tried to do 100 press-ups and run Comrades. What we ended up doing was compromising, and we did Comrades, and we did 50 press-ups every 30k.
Well, in Comrades.
Yes. Yeah. So we crossed the finish line.
I think you slightly
Comrades, and we did 50 push-ups.
Wow. I think you slightly misunderstood the meaning of the word compromise.
So you must have been super, super fit.
We were well prepared.
Yeah.
So. You know, like, fitness is so specific, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, yeah. When was this then? When did you do it?
Oh, 2011 now.
Right, okay.
But we did some great audio when we were there. And it's sort of now a real cult piece of audio.
Right, okay.
Which we love. Everybody who, we recorded the start.
Yeah.
At the start line, and it's an amazing place to be.
People say the atmosphere at Comrades is exceptional, don't they?
It's
people
phenomenal,
do.
Yeah. It's really lovely.
What makes it so distinctive, then? What's the sort of... Is it the place, the people?
Hang on a sec. Sorry, Steve in Spain. I'm just having a pee.
Go for it.
Oh, well...
I might as well.
Well, we're all going to do that now. You know what it's going to lead to? It's going to lead to that flashy noise.
Run! Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Fabulous.
As a big gang of Boy Scouts comes over the hill. That was an excellent idea. I didn't even know I needed it.
Well, I stopped, you know, here because I felt there's no wind.
You're really in control of this run.
It's good. Well, it's always an interesting wee stop when it's windy, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
There you go. Yeah, so I think...
why is Comrades got such a great
atmosphere?
Comrades
is awesome. It's not like a European-style run.
Right.
So there's a real feeling at the start with people very close together.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very intense atmosphere. But also fun.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
And they play this track called Shoshaloza, a classic sort of South African tune.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's banging out. And then they do this cockerel crowing.
Oh, brilliant.
Right? And that kind of signifies the race. And so, yeah, and you're there with tens of thousands of people about to tackle either the up or down run.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, 90K. So, yeah, it's brilliant.
I can feel myself wanting to do this. Do you have to qualify for the Comrades? Is there qualification?
No.
Right.
You have to complete, I think it's a marathon within a cut-off time.
Okay.
But I think that's something like 4 hours. It's right. Now raining.
Yeah, I don't think these raindrops are massive.
Quick, we need to get under the rock.
You didn't tell us this was going to happen.
It's only a shower.
Yeah, that's it.
We're climbing up a little sandy...
We are very near a big rock, so...
Sandy track to hide under a big rock.
I think if it leans over enough for us to get underneath it... Well, it's quite a lot of shelter under this tree, though. I know, I shouldn't stop.
Will it affect the sound recording?
No.
Let's just carry on.
We can't use that excuse.
Yeah, let's just carry on. We'll just carry on, so we'll never...
Never get back.
Yeah.
I love this. Paul's thinking, we're just going further and further away. This can't be right. We've come all the way to deepest Purbeck.
Well, you know...
What's he carrying that small shovel for?
I think there's scope for all kinds of running podcasts, but equally, you might be more competitive on that score than we thought. And weirdly, they're running commentary guys we're never seen again. Oh, look at this!
Thankfully not.
Look at this thing. What's this called again?
This is called Aggleston Rock. So
beautiful, isn't it?
Great, isn't it?
Great
situation. It's special.
Absolutely glorious.
You can get up.
There must be a rainbow somewhere.
You can get up on the top, Rob, from the other side.
Would you like to see me do that?
I would.
All right.
Let's have a look.
Now the rain stopped. It's worth us taking a picture of you and then running away.
So is this your man of the night? Do you run around here a lot then? Bit of a special run for you, is it?
I like this run, yeah.
It is beautiful, isn't it?
Because yep. It is the run You know, this is where you feel like you can get away.
Absolutely,
you really are away.
Yeah.
You know.
I won't go up there.
Oh, hang on.
Wait on. No.
This is where you meant, yeah?
He's talking about this rock. Yeah. Don't go up there, man. Come on, where?
I don't know.
On,
let's get serious. Rob's now halfway up the rock. I wonder, maybe.
We've got to get back, mate.
Oh, maybe this side, Rob.
This way.
This side might not kill you.
It's this side.
Oh, I see.
I'll try it with you.
It's right.
I don't know. What do we think? We could all sort of end up. It's very windy too.
Yeah, I'm quite keen. I won't be joining.
Are you going to avoid it? Where is Rob now?
The rock.
Is it the other side?
Rob's crying the other side, contemplating the rock.
I don't know. This seems a bit.
Have you climbed up there before, Martin? You obviously have.
Yeah, but a long time ago, and I can't remember which way I went.
Yeah, I don't know if what you said is true. Oh, he's up.
This seems like a good way.
Because they can see the ladder of it.
There's
there
little
now.
Steps there, look. There you go.
Yeah. There you go.
Easy. There you go. That's better,
easy,
Rob.
Mate. Easy. I've got you, mate. You're right.
You can manage that.
I've got you.
Yeah.
I've got you.
Yeah, you stay there. Keep us all safe.
Yeah. Do you want me to have the phone so I can take
a photo?
Is
that a no for you?
No, I'm coming.
Rob's going up. I'd love to join you. It's just...
He'd love to. He just doesn't want
What's
to.
What's the code, mate? What's the passcode?
Oh, just hit camera.
If you we stay this side...
Right, now I'm on the rock.
It's less windy.
This is really amazing because it's sandstone. It really is genuinely like a rock climbing. You know, you've got these lovely curvy handholds.
It's not working on the camera,
that have developed themselves. You know, if I have to help you work the camera port, it would be a bit like Martin's coastal trip. You know, you're supposed to be supporting me.
It's just not working, though. I'm pressing.
Are you going for it?
Yeah, I'm just finding a proper grip. Otherwise, I'm going to fall down this gap. There we go. He's up and he's in.
I don't think we'll go right to the top because of the...
Because
the wind knocks us off.
I've got it.
Great.
I've got
I need
it.
To get up high enough to look like I've made it up as high as you did.
There you go.
Safe. Easy.
Go on. Come on. This little bit here.
All right.
He's coming right the way up.
Yeah.
We may never recover from this. But we're up here now.
Clinging right in. Easy.
There we go. One.
No
two,
problem.
Three.
Okay.
If you can catch us, Paul.
Vertigo's kicking in.
Was this what you were expecting?
Bit of drama.
That was excellent. When he mentioned the rock, we should have read the subtext.
Yeah.
We're running to a rock.
Yeah.
We're climbing up the rock. Is this gap here? Is this brilliant? This is very... I've just been reading Bill Bryson Down Under, writing about Australia. And now I feel like I'm in the outback.
Like Ayers Rock, isn't it?
Yeah. Uluru.
This looks slightly harder than it did on the way up.
That's right. This is what this gigantic downs. Gap. Yeah, that's
coming
right.
Coming down's never as easy.
How I'm going to navigate this.
These two adventurous
turns. Come wait, you go.
Where did you... that assumes that I have some sort of knowledge about how I'm going to get down.
Yeah, I pulled myself up with
it. How did we do it? We must have held on.
There was a handhold. Do you remember we waiting for ages to get a good handhold? And now my wire's hanging
around. Do you want me to ring emergency services? What do you think?
And my wire's... I've got a problem with my wire.
Let's have a look. Yeah, you're okay.
I just need to wave my leg around and see if it goes anywhere useful. See what I mean? Paul, we are... Just at the moment, we're stuck. You should know that.
Oh, this is brilliant.
No, you'll be quite, that's the way to do it.
I wish I had the camera. Look at the sea. Look at there. He said, trying to create distraction while he worked out what the hell. It really isn't the way to do it. It still seems quite far away.
It does.
It does, doesn't it?
Down that crack.
That's what...
Oh, is there, of course there's a crack.
I don't like the look of this.
This was your idea.
How did we do this?
Oh,
this
is
your idea, yelling.
There's a ravine there. I didn't see right. Yeah.
pretends he's what some of the photos actually stopping trying to work
let
out.
Let me have a go. Let's
let me
if
get
I can
some of my
out.
Hands down somewhere first. Need to get a little grip here.
I think we did. Yeah.
Then if I slip, I'm still up here, do you know?
Over here, wasn't it? Is it over here?
Yeah.
Over
Sounds
there?
Good. I have to climb down to get to the handhold. Something's gone horribly wrong. Paul, is this what you'd expected on this run?
So it's like the opening scene to that film, 27 hours, isn't it?
127
hours. 127
hours,
yeah.
Oh, God. Did you want to go? Because I'm running out of... Look, how close am I to that? Because I'm falling, You get some up the short shots. Right, it's your turn to try.
Yelling's an outdoor type. He's
crazy.
He's from his area.
Okay. I think I made a panicky noise there, so you cut that out of his manner. This was your idea. I didn't notice you knew that at all.
And then where did we go? I think we did
easy.
This, didn't we?
Nothing there. Nothing there.
I'm going to be in the way.
there you go, look.
Can you reach it, though? Oh, he's got a toe on it.
He's got a toe on.
Yeah, but you're limber. I mean,
yeah, but that's the...
That's a good stretch, that, isn't it?
Yeah, great.
That's the bit in here, I think.
You need a thumb in there,
and then
you
can reach into there. Yeah, actually, I tell you what, there's a big ridge here.
Yeah,
that's how we did it, because you just can't
yeah,
see it.
Yeah, yeah, you just step into that and step down to
that.
Yeah,
you can, yeah. Honestly, I'll help
go you. Go and get some two before and build me a bridge.
Okay. Put one
you carry
spin
on down, and then I can fall towards you.
And put one hand in there.
Yep.
And then one foot, I'll guide you, because it's really simple, but you just don't know it's there.
Then if you kind of hang off the ledge, Rob.
In there. That's it. Got it?
Yeah, I haven't got a handhold there, so still
there you go,
there
now you've got
that's
it.
Good. That's good, you're safe there.
Yeah.
All right, watch out for me.
Okay, I'm going to try and get down the other side.
I'm down. We're down!
I wish I'd known that there was a big step there.
Hello there.
They've just walked.
That was great.
Yeah.
Although my wife disagrees. What the hell are you boys doing up there? Risking your lives. Or at least your limbs.
I would definitely try that. It's very simple.
There was a moment back there when I just literally thought there was a ladder around the back. That was not the case. That's the next good foothold, hey? You just all wait down there for me. I won't be long.
You'll be fine, mate. You're fine now.
Do you remember all that time we tried to climb that big rock? And Rob broke his leg right near the bottom.
Yeah, that's right. I do remember that. So, what were we talking about? Yeah, you two just watch me. That's great.
So near yet so far. Look at him. Look. Yes!
Doing stuff.
Well done. Well done.
Easy.
That was perfect.
It's raining.
That was great.
Again.
A lot of photo action there. That was lovely.
That's you and your rock. Yeah. For us now, it's yelling rock. No, it doesn't work anymore because it got wet. We got it. Let's run on.
Let me think which time-wise.
Oh, look at the Isle of Wight in the rainy distance.
How far have we done? Three.
Oh, I can tell you how far we've done.
Far.
Three, 2.5 miles.
Yeah. So where are we going to... Is there another point we have to reach before we turn back? Or are we just going to... When's the ferry? That's the key.
Yeah, there's the ferry there, look.
Great. Just go and get that.
Straight
Rob's
there.
Just in tears. Rob's basically suffering from post-traumatic stress.
I just think we're in Australia. I think a deadly spider is going to crawl out of the rock and chew on my face.
The weather's going crazy, isn't it? It's kind of sunny, it's windy, it's windy.
In fact, this whole thing feels like a cheese dream, if I'm honest. There's a picture of us under the rock. Paul, come in next to me. We're next to the rock, the rock that we bested in the end, and it's raining and sunny at the same time. Just decidedly strange. Miss Havisham Rock, that's right, isn't it? Because see that bump over there on our right, is that the top or is that just a top?
Oh, no.
Yeah, I need to go to Nineborough Down. We haven't got to Nineborough Down, have we?
No.
Well, sun's out now, let's go.
Let's go this way then.
So when you did, I'm going back. Going back to press ups.
Yeah.
When you got to 77, were you adding one a day? Was that? Did you just snatch at that? How did you get to that?
No, I got 77 continuous and then stopped.
Yeah, yeah.
I couldn't do any more.
But
you had a certain. I think we could keep trying.
Yeah.
I can't remember the exact rules.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because it is press ups and planking's the same. Once you get to your. Oh, I've just gone through a gorse bush. I don't know if it pulled out my plug. No, it just pulled my microphone off my ear. Which is great. It hurt quite a lot. Frankly, this whole last few minutes has been more extreme than I was hoping.
Are your normal runs?
This is a tough mudder.
So what do you do?
Is this what a tough mudder's like?
I like towpaths.
When you do your normal off-road running, is it one lap of Hyde Park?
That's right. I don't know if you've been to Highgate Woods, but there's some serious ups and downs.
From now on, we'll be climbing trees left, right and centre.
When I plank, because I like to plank, and I think from an exercise point of view, it's better to do it in reps and do a minute here and then do it differently and come back. But I love, just in terms of kind of long run psychology, I love staying with it But it's amazing how you can kind of say, oh, I'll add 30 seconds a week or 15 seconds a day. And once you get to your max, it suddenly becomes impossible to add.
Let's do a picture there.
Oh,
I like that one.
That's gorgeous.
And I've got my phone too. So
do you want me to run back and climb up it and be on the top of the picture?
Can we get us all in too?
Yeah, let's meet you two in the rock first. There we go, because I've got you. Look at me a second. There we go. And then I'll get
in. See if we can get us all in for my...
Where's the rock? There it is, between you two.
My Strava run afterwards.
And in the sun, and in the sunshine. How did you get the sun to come out again?
How did we get this rock? Is that it there? Where is it?
It's behind Paul.
Is it in or is that Rob's hair?
It's gone, actually. The rock's gone.
there it is.
There is a bit of... my hair and the rock, it's like Dali's Narcissus painting.
So what's your limit with a plank is what, about three minutes?
I've got up to 3.5 and right. Seen 4 on the horizon. But the moment you let it drop off, it drops away again. And I'll spend a month at 2.5 and work my way back up to 3. So I'm on 3 at the moment. And my life dream, I don't think I'll ever do longer
than
5.
As lofty life dreams go, this that's is right. Right up there.
I know. Well, that's the funny thing is that the world record for planking is like 5 hours, isn't it?
Is it?
It doesn't, it's preposterous.
I can think of a huge amount of things I'd rather do for 5 hours.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Rock climbing.
But then a lot of people would say that about marathons, wouldn't they?
Yeah. I can think of loads more things I'd rather do for 5 hours than run.
So, in terms of the comrades then, how did you find the event? You trained, obviously, hard.
I first heard about it because... I think we interviewed Bruce Fordyce, who...
Out in the 4.9. Oh, no, different guy.
Bruce is...
One of the best ultra runners.
9-time.
Ever, yes.
Yeah.
Run Comrades loads of
winner
times,
and a bit of an icon.
Yeah.
In the game show industry.
Yeah. No. Not strictly.
And so we thought we'd do it, and it wasn't that well known in the UK, so we off we went, did it?
Yeah.
And yeah, just a wonderful, wonderful experience of running in Africa, you know, in South Africa, and different people received in a different way. The enthusiasm is different. The crowd support is different.
Yes.
You know, the music on the sides is a different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you were saying about. Running the coast path gives you that sense of getting back in touch and understanding that running isn't about, you know, it's a way of getting away from kind of technology and times and speed and all this stuff. But also, what you did there is instead you went to a different community, you know?
Yeah.
It's like just seeing that from a different angle. I mean, it's always interesting. It's just always fantastic to do the London Marathon. I think people who can't get into it, haven't done it, get a bit... irritated sometimes about this celebration, but you can't help it. It's just this, it's a citywide party. So to see that kind of community from a completely different angle in a different
but
country,
while you're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
You know?
That's quite a big gate. I don't know what they're planning on bringing through there. If that's a kissing gate, I don't know who you're going to kiss.
Bruce Fordyce ran ultras off not as much training as other people, didn't he? He was a bit more into, like, I read a bit about him recently, he's more into slightly less mileage than other people might do, you know?
I mean, I can't remember his training, but
did you do a lot of long
racer?
Yes.
And he was also running at a, you know, volatile time in South African history,
right?
And, you know, in apartheid, running with, yeah, he had his life threatened and all sorts of things.
Wow, I didn't realise.
For standing up for some of the things that he believed in at the time.
Yeah.
And being a very public figure. And
it throws a turn around the park into relief, doesn't it?
Yeah. But if you ever think of doing an ultra,
That's one to do.
Have you done an ultra, Paul?
No, I haven't, no. I mean, it's something I've thought about. I definitely need a new... My initial aim is to get quicker, get a little bit quicker, and then try and run a bit faster for the marathon. See if I've got any more pace.
So you've still got that bug?
I think so. We'll wait and see. I mean, because it takes a lot out of you, doesn't it? Training and running and trying to run a marathon as fast as you can. But I did really enjoy it. But whether I can be sufficiently motivated to try and beat, you know, 2:57 for the marathon as I was in beating 3 hours, I don't actually know at this point.
Well, I think you could do it.
Yeah, it's what's the next goal, isn't it? Because there's no way I've got the legs in me or the training in me to do 2:50. So, it's, I don't know. I'm confused.
Well, yeah, I kind of wonder what, you know, like what the motivation is at that point.
Yes, I know what you're saying.
Because, well, I understand because, you know, with my own running when I was, you know, thinking, oh, I ran 66 minutes for a half marathon.
Yes.
66 on the head.
Brilliant.
But I always wanted to run under 65 minutes.
Right.
And I think, well, it's only a minute. And actually, it makes no difference whatsoever.
Yeah. But you can argue that in both directions, you know. If Paul's got 2:45 and it was 2:50 or 2:52 or whatever, then stopping at 3 is stopping that dream from becoming, you know.
Well, it's only what you set yourself, isn't it?
So, yeah, of course, yes, yeah.
The like, I kind of think to my... I've been having this chat with Tom going... A question we often ask ourselves about our running is, what would your 100-year-old self say to you about that?
Yeah, yes.
You know, it's like,
you should have beaten 65.
Yeah. Why didn't you run 64? Yeah, I think it's up this way.
Yeah.
We're currently listening.
You know, I think your 100-year-old self would go, man, you put a lot of effort.
Chill out, enjoy it. Yes, yeah.
Into trying to find 60 seconds of your life.
Yes, yeah.
Think
yeah.
how many seconds went into finding that 60 seconds.
Yes, yeah. That's
like, is it worth it?
Yes, especially when you're not operating at an elite level. I think sometimes a lot of runners, serious recreational runners, can approach it a bit too seriously sometimes, and I sort of understand why, because everyone's got their own aims, haven't they? But
yeah, but also people can lose sight of the fact that how fast you run really doesn't define you.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah. That's fair enough.
You know, when you meet somebody who doesn't run, and this is always a sort of poignant reminder. You meet someone who doesn't run, and you say to them, "You run a marathon in 2:49," and they go, "That's absolutely incredible."
That's like the professionals.
Did you win the London Marathon?
Yeah. You know.
And if you went to them and you said, same person, same question, "Hey, I ran 2:46.
Yes.
Like, their reaction's going to be the same.
Exactly the same, yeah, of course. Yeah. It only matters to you, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's only your understanding of that 3 minutes.
Yeah.
But as long as you're happy with the spend from the rest of your life on that 3 minutes.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
It's that thing, I think that's what makes 3 hours, or made it for me, attractive. It was hard, but achievable, sort of.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Sort of, it's almost like the everyman's 4-minute mile or something, isn't it? It's really difficult, but you can do it.
Yeah.
It's the magical balance, isn't it, between pushing yourself so you're really getting something out of it, but still, A, remembering that it's for you, it's for fun, and B, remembering to keep in that calm space that ultimately, and the marathon in the end is a great lesson in that, because the achievement will always be, and we were reminding ourselves of this during training, the achievement should always be that you did the marathon. Not how fast you did the marathon.
Yeah.
You just got to get round, because that's enough.
It's a big day. It's
how you did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not how, when, or where. And particularly if it changes. Say you're on for 3, and then you get this pain, and you have to walk some of it, and something else happens, you come in 4.5. You've still got to turn around at the end and go, I did it.
Yeah.
You know, not I failed to do this, but I managed to do this.
Well,
That's good.
So we're going to...
Secret path through a style.
Go across a golf course
look
here.
Look at this.
So just seeing the warning signs on the golf danger. Course.
More
flying,
danger.
Yeah.
Flying climb golf balls, yeah.
Show me where to put my feet.
Angry golfers.
Every time I see one of these red signs on the golf course, though, I think we're going onto a firing range. I can see Swanage through the gap. Is that Swanage or Studland? Through the gap over there.
Oh, yeah, that's Swanage.
Brilliant. I'm just going to zoom in on that. That's a fabulous view.
Are you a bit worried about your...
No, it's just banging and annoying me. So look, I'm padding it out with some ferns.
Nice. See, that's the way to make yourself feel in touch with nature, is to shove some bracken in next to your mobile.
That's right.
We're right on the... Before there were paths, but now we're right on the fairway. I want to take my shoes off.
Yeah, it's lovely, isn't it? So we have to run across this way, look.
Okay.
Because I know a few people...
I say, guys, we've run a fair way.
Like,
hey!
I know a few people who
have... Have you ever thought...
who've run just over 3 hours of the marathon. You know, that's where it gets interesting to me, where they've done like 3 hours and 24 seconds or whatever.
Yeah. Because they'll mourn it for the rest of their lives.
Well, no, they might not, or they might not, but the fact is that time does exist, doesn't it? And people set themselves... They set themselves aims.
Yeah.
And you can say... What I'm saying is that people see that as... They still want to beat 3 hours. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of... If time wasn't important, Roger Bannister wouldn't have beaten 4 minutes for the mile, would he?
Yeah.
He'd be saying, oh, it's 4 minutes and one, but it's like 4 minutes.
Maybe you know this is...
It feels like it, you know. It's just the same, really.
Maybe this is part of the reason that modern distance runners seek out massive distances. They're trying to get back to that point.
Where
trying
time
to remind
doesn't
themselves that it's about the running, not the time.
Because you'll notice, although some people will know about it, we haven't even asked you how long it took to do Comrade yet, because the further you run, the less people bother about the time. Is that true, Martin, would you say? Or?
Although Comrades has quite a focused time structure.
Yes, in terms of getting medals and stuff.
Yeah, so, you know, there's a large emphasis on time.
Right.
Be careful of your fragile legs through here, Rob. Yes. There's some nettles.
Nettles. Nettle alert!
So if the sand was going to sting, these nettles are really going to ruin my life.
This run has been so challenging. Nettles, rocks, sand.
Oh, I'm just going to take a photo of my nemesis. I mean, these nettles. Look at that.
So what are the time? What's the time?
Do you know, I think they give the names, they give the medals names.
Okay, right.
I can't remember, there's a Wally Hayward medal, a bronze, silver and a gold medal.
Right, okay.
So one is a completion and the other three are based on times, or positions. So Steve Way, do you know Steve? You heard of Steve? Yeah. He just came ninth.
Wow. Brilliant.
Got a gold medal.
Yeah, that's great. Is gold the top 10, is it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
This is the most beautiful place. Going across a grassy meadow, wet from the rain, green in the sunshine, with a hill rising ahead of us. I think we might be going up.
Yeah, we are.
Great. We can do that.
So, Mike, let's talk about... Marathon talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, what was your first marathon? Where did it begin marathon-wise?
Say that again.
What was your first marathon? Ow.
I think it may have been London. Oh, do you know, I can't remember.
Oh, that's
I
a
actually
good sign.
Haven't done that many standalone marathons.
Right.
I've done... You know, marathons are trail, multi-stage events. Marathons at the end of Ironman triathlons.
Yeah.
London, three, four times.
It went London.
I can't remember.
When you're triathling, what's your... you haven't mentioned swimming yet. Which is your favourite? I mean, what do you look forward to when you're going between disciplines?
Well, swimming, I mean, is hideous. Everybody knows that.
Yes. Swimming's always the worst one for everyone, isn't
that?
It? Especially even the swimmers.
Especially for runners.
Yes, yeah. More climbing.
I didn't really like... again, I only started triathlon because my mates, a lot of my mates were doing it.
Yeah. Right.
And I wasn't quite good enough at running.
Yes. You need to get some more sluggardly mates.
Yeah. Get some lazier mates.
Yeah, we're going to go left.
And a real slob girlfriend.
And they all did this Ironman, and so I thought I'd do it as well. And also because of, you remember, I had to give up, I gave up cycling to chase my wife.
Yeah. Yes.
So I had a history of riding the bike.
Yeah.
So I used to road race
that up.
The bike.
Yeah.
You know, I did things like the Tour of Wales. I raced for a French team, so I did some crit riding in France at night. And
wow. So you got paid to race? To
Well, loosely.
Yes.
You know, I was never good, but...
Yeah. That was a real sound effect, listeners.
Yeah, that's a real gate. So we're facing the biggest hill on the run.
Well, we pace ourselves accordingly.
We can do that.
Is there a name for this hill?
Well, let's wait till we get three quarters of the way up and then see what you call it.
Deering's Trouble.
Yeah. I think if people name
Yelling's
hills
Revenge.
I'll be able to collect it along with Terror Rock and Field of Pain. Places we've been to so far today.
We always talk about hills as slopes of opportunity.
Absolutely, yeah.
I do think
give you
that
strength, don't they?
There are two things I love about hills. One is they're a great lesson, and I kind of sort of knew this from cycling, but found it again with running. They make you realise you've got gears. When you get up a hill, you don't snatch at it. You can't grab it. You tie yourself out. You've got to slow down for it.
Yeah. You've got to glide up it.
And secondly, it's just a wonderful reminder that you've got strength, you know? Particularly if and when you get to the top. The moment when you carry on running, that's when you get that feeling, even as a short distance runner, a little hint of what it's like to run major distances and be able to kind of relax while still running.
That's the moment when any serious runner makes his move, isn't it? Off the top of the hill.
Yeah, run.
That's when you do it.
You run over the crest. You don't never stop.
Accelerate off the crest.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The third thing I love about hills.
Yeah.
Is you can walk and it's all right.
Yeah. I'm going to tie my shoelace.
Oh, it's cheating. Look. We'll make you sprint to catch us.
No. The fourth thing I love about hills is the view you get at the top.
We used to... both used to get to go to Cyprus and run there because we were doing gigs out there. And hill running out there was great. I went running with another comedian, Joe Rowntree. And he was really impressed with my potential hill work. And as a result, I showed off. We both pushed each other to, you know, to nearly breaking ourselves. He was desperately trying to keep up with me. I was desperately trying to stay ahead of him. And as a result, we very nearly died. Neither of us had the fitness for it at all.
Yeah,
it's an honest hill.
You've noticed.
Yeah.
Our breathing rate's gone up and our talking's gone down.
Yeah. Rob's usually good for a good old chat up a hill. He normally starts a story at the bottom of the hill and I just let him move it to me.
Sorry. Yada, yada, yada. Yada, 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 yada.
We've had you on Marathon Talk in the past, Rob.
Yes.
I think, was it York? You were doing York?
Yeah. I think this must be... I think we talked in summer 2014.
Yeah.
Because I did... Running commentary listeners know it's my time of innocence. Because I did a 1:28 half. And, oh my goodness, look where we are. So we're right on the... Col, the ridge.
Col de la Swanage.
It's some kind of memorial. And over on the left, is that Bournemouth now?
That's Poole Harbour, you can
see
there.
Poole Harbour. I'll get a picture before it goes behind that bump.
You'll get a great shot from the top as well.
We'll stop again there, don't worry.
You thought it was.
Poole Harbour and Bournemouth that way. This memorial thing in the middle. And then Swanage over on our right.
Nice, really.
And even as I say, I can see, I can hear a skylark.
And a massive rain cloud behind us.
Okay, get going.
And the wind. So when you said, Now, I thought, if we do the run this way around,
Swanage looks so picturesque.
We're going to have the wind behind us, downhill,
as the rain chases
on the way back.
So I did the Royal Parks in 128, and someone turned to me and said, oh, you could do a 3:15 marathon then. And I was like, oh, could I? Yeah. And the next thing I did was talk to you. And you were like, if you manage to do 3:15, if you get 3:10, you could get... And I realised that
it's always, ended.
It's always someone somewhere pushing you to the next 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But I got my 3:15 marathon.
Cool.
With Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.